Hello everyone, welcome to This Week in Stupid for the 1st of March 2015. This week I have a veritable cornucopia of idiocy for you. We'll begin with, I know what would solve crisis in the NHS, says Tory MP. Astrology. David Tredinick, the village idiot for Bosworth and Leicester, predicts that if doctors took to the stars, they will find ways to treat patients and take huge pressure off the NHS. I am absolutely certain that it would take huge pressure off the NHS. I don't really think it's going to be all that useful for patients, though. I think this guy is actually serious. I mean, he's claimed that NHS overcrowding could be solved by doctors using astrology to treat patients, which I'm sure would be really reassuring for the patients. He has also admitted that he has prepared astrological charts for fellow MPs, presumably with the help of Russell Grant. Speaking with this month's Astrological Journal, the MP said there would be a huge row over resources. However, I do believe that astrology and complementary medicine would help take the pressure off of doctors. Who fucking voted for this idiot? How backwards must Bosworth be if they're voting for MPs who advocate for astrology instead of science? In his defence, he says that 90% of pregnant French women use homeopathy. Oh, well, fucking brilliant. That's fucking brilliant. Let's just, if they're using homeopathy, we may as well start using astrology. Apparently, astrology is a useful diagnostic tool, enabling us to see the strengths and weaknesses via the birth chart. And yes, I have helped fellow MPs. I do foresee that one day, astrology will have a role to play in healthcare. Well, that's the Tory cuts for you, isn't it? He adds that people who oppose what I say are usually bullies, who have never studied astrology. Oh my goodness, they don't have their degree in indigenous science. Did you think I was joking? Because I'm fucking not. He says, they never look at it. They are absolutely dismissive. Astrology may not be capable of passing double-blind tests, but it is based on thousands of years of observation. And it's still wrong, you idiot. And astrology was, until modern times, part of the tradition of medicine. Yes, and so is alchemy, part of the tradition of what we now call science. And yet we don't still practice it, do we? But he thinks it's a great pity that so many scientists today are dismissive of right brain energy, such as intuition. I'm not really comfortable with doctors who will open me up under the pretense of intuition. Fucking, this person seems to have forgotten that they are not a doctor, they're a politician, and a dumb one at that. Tredinick, who is the chairman of the All-Party Group for Integrated Healthcare, went on to say that people who opposed astrology were racist, which is fucking hilarious. He said, the opposition to astrology is based on what I call the SIP formula. Superstition, ignorance and prejudice. Wow. That, yeah, no, that's, oh, fucking, that is just madness. But it gets better, as he says, it tends to be based on superstition, with scientists reacting emotionally, which is always a great irony. Yes, those superstitious scientists saying, well, what connection do the stars' alignment have to your health? This isn't the first time he's spoken out about astrology. Last July, he caused a storm when he first spoke out about the benefits of astrology, saying that it had a proven track record at helping people recover from illness. A proven track record that doesn't involve double-blind tests, presumably. Of course, Tredinick doesn't want to use his powers for evil. He says, despite his strong belief in astrology, he denied using it to make a prediction for the general election in May. Well, I tell you what, Tredinick, you go ahead. You just knock yourself the fuck out, mate. I am okay for you to use your magic fucking astrologer powers to predict the future about the general election. Be my guest. And because he was born under the sign of the Capricorn, Tredinick said, I have a strong sixth house, which suggests an emphasis on being a servant of the people. And this is quite a strong indication of health and healing. My Moon, Venus, Jupiter planets, brackets, in Aquarius, sit opposite Pluto in the 12th house. Well, goddamn, I think someone needs to introduce this guy to Tumblr. I think that he is going to have a wonderful time and find many new converts there. Fucking. Jesus Christ. He's a Tory MP. I mean, is this... What can I say to make this more ridiculous? We are in the 21st century and we have an elected official going on about the benefits of astrology for healthcare. Well, if the NHS is fucked, why don't we just fuck the legal system too? How about this? Muslim abuser who didn't know that sex with girl of 13 was illegal is spared jail. I just didn't know, sir. I just didn't know. I just didn't have a clue that I wasn't supposed to be shagging a 13-year-old. So, you know, can I go now? A Muslim who raped a 13-year-old girl he groomed on Facebook has been spared a prison sentence after a judge heard that he went to an Islamic faith school where he was taught that women are worthless. Okay, there is so much wrong with that sentence. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm sure that we can all agree, and I mean, at least we should be glad that we're not saying, well, it'd be racist to charge him or something. That's a good step forward. That's a good step forward. Well done, British legal system. But simply not knowing about the law, that's not our problem. The law still exists, and he still broke it, and he still raped a 13-year-old girl. So, kind of tough shit. But the part that really concerns me the most is, why are these Islamic faith schools in Britain, 21st century Britain, teaching young men that women are worthless? Just out of interest. I mean, I feel that I need to hold the state's hand through this and say, no, no, it's okay, it's not racist to tell them that it's wrong to teach women are worthless. Do we understand? Yeah? Pinch your little cheeks and go on, Tories. Go and fucking arrest the people for doing it. Fuck me. I mean, he met up with this girl in Nottingham where he'd booked a room at a Premier Inn. And they stayed at the hotel for 2 hours. Did nobody at this hotel see this 18-year-old Muslim man checking in with a 13-year-old girl and think, maybe I should ask a question? Or maybe I should tell someone about this? No. I'm sure it's fine. I mean, apparently she was pretty eager. After all, I mean, he did tell the police that he knew the girl was 13 and was initially reluctant to have sex before relenting after being seduced. You know, after grooming her for 2 months. But I mean, he did then return home after having sex with her and then went straight back to the mosque to pray. The same mosque that he was taught that women were worthless. I mean, there is nothing amiss with any of this, and I'm not surprised the judge was just like, you know what, let him go. The court heard how Rashid had little experience of women due to his education at an Islamic school in the UK, which cannot be named for legal reasons. Presumably those legal reasons being British people would commit crimes against them if they found out where it was. I mean, it is kind of contrary to British values to teach that women are no more worthy than a lollipop that has been dropped on the ground. But the problem isn't that the man raped a child. The problem is that he violated the precepts of Islam. It was made clear to you at the school you attended that having sexual relations with a woman before marriage was contrary to the precepts of Islam. It's not the fact that he raped a child. It's not the fact that he broke British law. And it's not the fact that these schools are teaching young men to do this. You know, it's not the fact that these schools are actually teaching misogyny to young Islamic men in Britain. It's that the world has gone mad, and I feel like I'm the last sane person in it. I mean, seriously, I mean, look at this. South Carolina College bans homosexuality after athletes come out as gay. I don't think you can ban homosexuality. I think the best you can do is ban people from being publicly homosexual. I mean, this is all pretty cut and dried stuff for the 21st century. A rural South Carolina college is attempting to ban homosexuality amongst its students after two of the school's volleyball players came out as gay. Erskine College issued a policy statement that the college is officially opposed to same-sex relationships because they're a bunch of raging closet homos. I mean, it isn't part of God's intended design for humanity. Erskine officials are attempting to make certain that any other LGBT students at the college know that the school does not welcome them. And that really pisses me off. Not because I really give a fuck about LGBT students, but because this gives the social justice warriors ammunition. They can now say, well, there's this college trying to ban gays. How do you feel about that? Oh, well, that's fucking retarded. Well, there we go. That gives us a reason to exist. That gives us a reason to push social justice. You fucking idiots. You're just loading your opponent's weapons, aren't you, you morons? And we haven't even begun to address the immorality of forcing your personal beliefs on two consenting adults who aren't doing any harm to anyone, based on your insanely archaic religious practices, in a country that is supposed to be ostensibly secular. And I love this too. The school's statement on human sexuality issued last week said, "We believe the Bible teaches that all sexual activity outside the covenant of marriage is sinful and therefore ultimately destructive to the parties involved." Well, where is your statement against heterosexual sex outside of marriage then? This is, of course, an argument as old as time when dealing with religious fruitcakes. Just so you know, I don't care if you're religious, you can be as religious as you want. Utter one word of it in public, though. Okay, so that's the superstitions out of the way. Now let's go to gaming. Gamergate's harasser Jace Connors is a parody character and his creator is scared for his life. What? YouTube user ParkourDude91, aka Jace Connors, uploaded a deranged video in which he claimed game developer Brianna Wu tried to assassinate him. Connors stood in front of a car and he had purportedly crashed while on his way to confront Wu. If you don't remember this, this guy was some sort of fucking crazy person that everyone was like, wow, here is a crazy person. The internet, just the whole internet, was taken in by the strange and scary video, citing it as another example. Where's the first one? Of a Gamergate supporter's strange obsession with female game developers like Wu, Quinn, and Sarkeesian. Really? That's very interesting. And it's interesting because, probably like the other ones, it's not true. BuzzFeed has revealed that Jace Connors, who uploads vitriolic videos online in which he brandishes a knife, usually in front of an American flag, yelling about everything from Barack Obama to longboarding, is in fact the creation of 20-year-old Jan Rankowski, who is supposed to be some kind of comedian. Apparently this guy really did crash his car and then came up with the rest of the video on the spot. But thanks to his stupid stunt, he was made to sign a contract at my job saying I wouldn't make any of these videos again. That's right, this dipshit is now contractually obligated to shut up and fuck off. But he has really begun to regret this. He received a letter in the mail with a picture of me from my high school yearbook. It said I shouldn't have fucked with 8chan, and some kid stood outside my window throwing pebbles, and someone knocked on my door. It's a closed apartment. You shouldn't be able to get in. And then there was no one there. Well, sorry, Jace Connors, you'll have to forgive me for saying that everything you're saying is bullshit. But the article finishes that while Connors is a creation intended for parody, apparently, that doesn't make up for the concern and worry caused by the Brianna Wu video. Wu herself was scared by the implications on video, saying on Twitter that she wanted Connors arrested, and Gamergate people are just sat there watching this happen going, wow, just like all of the harassment so far, it's got nothing to do with us. Speaking of annoying feminists, Marvel's Thor attacks critics who say feminists are ruining everything. Latest issue directly addresses criticisms leveled at comic creators after Marvel introduced a female incarnation of the hammer-wielding superhero. Are we ready for some cringe? So Marvel caused waves last summer when it announced that the hammer-wielding Norse god would be recast as a woman, which makes no sense because Thor isn't a title, it is a name. But you know what, it's fine. Let's ask Ben Cachera what he thinks. Why is this featured on Polygon? Why not? Ben Cachera's a giant fucking mangina. So, the new Thor has words for creeps who think feminists are ruining everything. They're not even critics now, they're creeps. The latest issue of the comic took the words from these critics, sorry, I thought you said creeps, Ben, and placed them in the mouth of a villain as he battled the new Thor. Brilliant. You can read them for yourself, because it's a pretty neat case of the fourth wall being broken in a non-Deadpool book. Yes, I'm sure that pretty neat will encapsulate this entirely. Okay, so we have a guy called The Absorbing Man, who has apparently just robbed a bank, and he's being confronted by feminist Thor, and he says, Thor? Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to call you Thor? Damn, feminists are ruining everything. Well, that doesn't seem like a non sequitur or anything, does it? Thor says, thou wishest to touch the hammer, be my guest, and throws the hammer at The Absorbing Man. And he says, What's gotten into this crazy thing as the hammer swirls around him? This ain't how it's supposed to work. What the hell kind of a Thor are you? A Thor. That is embarrassing. Alright. I mean, what kind of a Ben Kuchera thinks this is a good comic? But the cringe doesn't stop. The kind who just broke your jaw, says Thor as she punches the absorbing man in the jaw. And then in thought bubbles, that's for saying feminist like it's a four-letter word, creep. And also, you know, for the robbing. I love how cringeworthy this is. Not only is this the most forced, stilted dialogue ever, but she doesn't even say her complaint about the way he said feminism out loud, which is the most childish and passive-aggressive thing I've ever seen in a comic book. But not only that, it's not even the thing she's most annoyed about. The robbing is second to his opinion of feminism. And it seems pretty self-evident that she's looking for a reason to punch him because of his thoughts on feminism, and thank God he robbed somewhere because now she can. Fucking cringe, man. So from something pathetic to something serious. Boys face compulsory feminism programs in state schools across Victoria, Australia. Boys face compulsory feminism programs in state schools across Victoria in a major push to prevent violence against females. Possible classroom activities include students acting out scenes of sexual coercion, after which students would suggest more appropriate behaviour. Wonderful. I'm sure that's going to prevent thousands of rapes. And apparently it would help if teachers could make the program fun, the authors said. I can't imagine how this won't be thrilling in every way. I imagine they're going to be laughing their fucking asses off. So the report says the programs for all students should start at primary level and be reinforced across all year levels in subjects including drama, English, science and sport. And said that feminist theories were best at explaining the link between gender power relations and violence against women and must underpin the programs. Well, call me a cynic, but they would say that, wouldn't they? But the thing is, I've read feminist theories, and they say things like, men use rape as a tool of societal control. You know, they really have this sort of tendency to conflate class with gender, and apply men as the dominant class, the bourgeoisie, if you will, and women as the oppressed class, the proletariat, if you will. I'm sure we can all agree that it is a wildly inappropriate comparison. The Australian Families Association spokesman John Morrissey said boys were already getting a feminised education due to the falling number of male teachers in schools. And he says, I'm sceptical if boys will respond to it if it's dressed up in feminist language and ideology. Well, I've got some bad news for you, John. Boys, like men, love women. They have a special tendency to think very highly of their mothers. And if they are guilt-tripped into believing that they are born with the original sin of being male, and therefore oppressive to women, they will instinctively want to change that, or at least do something to ameliorate the damage that they are supposedly doing, according to the crackpot radical feminists that are teaching your children. He said, strident feminist propaganda won't wash with boys. And again, I disagree, but at least we are aware that this is strident feminist propaganda. Instead of rebutting John's point that it's strident feminist propaganda, Dr. Michael Flood, the report author, decided to confirm it instead, and admitted there was always the risk of a backlash, but said it was crucial that students were taught that sexist attitudes and unequal relationships between the sexes were central to explaining violence. Even though that doesn't necessarily explain violence, especially between, say, lesbian couples, which have a massive, massive problem with domestic violence. With over 35% of women living with the same-sex partner experiencing intimate partner physical violence in their lifetimes. Which I think it's worth stressing is 10% higher than heterosexual couples. But no, sorry, Dr. Michael Flood, you are certain it's crucial that students are taught that sexist attitudes and unequal relationships between the sexes were central to explaining violence. That's totally the explanation. So Australia is apparently becoming the English-speaking world's version of Sweden. So let's have a quick look at Sweden, shall we? Out of fear of racism, Sweden changes the names of bird species. Out of fear of racism. Sweden, yes. Birdwatching has long been a popular and seemingly harmless weekend activity in Sweden. Its innocence, however, came to an abrupt end when many of the country's bird lovers were suddenly confronted with allegations of racism. Of course they were. Apparently, Swedish birds have got names that now could be considered offensive to certain groups. One species, for instance, is called the gypsy bird. Disgusting, Sweden. How do you live with yourselves? Another was called the negro. The black bird. Unfucking believable. The insult kaffir, which was used by whites against blacks in South Africa, the word we're talking about, C-A-F-F-E-R, also resembles the name of a Swedish bird species called a kaffir, K-A-F-F-E-R. Fucking Sweden, I don't think you're whipping yourselves quite hard enough. So the existence of these names and others like them had sparked little outrage and publicity until recently, when Sweden's Ornithological Society completed its first ever global list of the 10,709 Swedish bird names 2 weeks ago. The organisation also announced some awkward name changes, because they realised that they were all a terrible bunch of racists. Something I presume that you would know if you were a racist, but apparently the Swedes have to do it by categorising the names of their birds. I love this. In the process of categorising the names, staffers had raised concerns over some that had a potentially offensive nature. No one is actually offended by the names of these birds, but they're looking at them going, well, I mean, it's a similar word to an insult they use in South Africa against blacks, isn't it? This could be potentially offensive. It must be changed. Werdenheim does not think the bird names should be used to draw broader conclusions about Swedish society. Of the thousands of names, there were only 10 which could be understood to be condescending or racist, he said. I don't know, Werdenheim. I think that this does, in fact, draw broader conclusions about the Swedish society. I think that you're all a bunch of disgusting racists. Maybe you should go throw yourselves off a fucking cliff. How can you know that you're not racist? I mean, you had racist names for your birds, Sweden. You are so subconsciously racist, you don't even know when you're being racist. And you have to collate all of the bird names together to find the 10 or so which are racist before you realise how racist you are. He says, here in Sweden, an overwhelming majority is for the changes we have implemented. However, the news has reached far beyond our borders and most outraged reactions have come from abroad. Shouldn't that tell you something? Shouldn't that be a warning sign? Maybe? No? Maybe the whole world is just ragingly racist. I mean, in England, we do have a black bird. It's a bird species. We also have great tits. I'm not joking. Imagine how sexist that is. Honestly, Sweden, you're not the laughingstock of the entire Western world. It's not that people think that the things you do are pathetic and childish beyond all reason. And while we're on the subject, let's talk about the Sweden of the internet. Freethoughtblogs.com. In defense of excluding white male authors. So in defense of being exclusionary on the grounds of gender and race. So Heinia Dabadoy is our resident sexist and racist, and she's going to take us through why exactly it's okay to exclude people based on the way they were born, their gender and their ethnicity. So she begins by saying, I recently announced something I decided on ages ago, that I'd be exclusively reading non-male authors in 2015 and non-white authors in 2016. I'm going to presume that she's also going to be excluding male authors in 2016. It's sort of like a layer effect, if you will. The moment of resolution happened when my horrified eyes beheld my reading record on gender. Not only were my percentages far less than 50-50, favouring male authors, male privilege, just terrible, but also most of the female authors on record for me reflected books that I'd read as a child and younger teen. From the time I started university until now, I'd mostly read white male authors, which I think is actually some form of rape. Furthermore, the works by the relatively few authors of colour that I'd read were on racial issues, and the non-male authors I'd read were writings on feminism. I think I found your problem. How did this happen to a voracious reader who graduated with a double degree in the humanities? Oh, I can definitely see your problem here. A reader of the study, widely reviled as diversity obsessed. The short answer is that I paid no attention to gender or race in my reading, and not caring is a recipe for bias in a world riddled with inequality. Just, I love it. It's bias towards books that are interesting. That's what you've been reading. Books that you thought, oh, that looks good. I'll read that. And white men have just got this habit of writing good books, I guess. What do you want? This woman's an apostate from Islam. And she says that she read a lot of atheist-authored evolutionary biology, psychology, skepticism, science, and atheistic philosophy, as in Dawkins, Hitchens, Harris, and Dennett. White men. And it's like she's some sort of moron or something. Because she says, a common argument against discussing or taking conscious care when it comes to matters of race or gender is that calling attention to the issue will exacerbate matters. Or you could make a career out of calling attention to the issue. Why not focus on the common humanity we all share rather than our differences? Because there are a lot of racists in the world, and they're on the far left or the far right. Just pick a direction and keep going. But unfortunately for the anti-victimhood brigade, which I imagine I'm part of, that attitude does not accurately reflect the world in which we live. Seemingly equal and unbiased behaviour doesn't lead to equal and unbiased outcomes. No, because people are different. People are all different, you fucking communists. Because of intrinsic biases, behaving as though equality were already achieved leads to the reinforcement of the status quo, which is certainly not equality for all. The problem is that it was white men who wrote what you needed and wanted to read. No one else wrote it. White men wrote it. So you can't get around the fact that in this case, they were the best people to read. It's not about race. It's not about gender. It was about merit. You wanted to read what they were saying. So the issue for her is that non-white, non-men people are staggeringly underrepresented in her reading. I have spent over 20 years disregarding the gender or race of people who authored my books and ended up reading mostly white male authors. This means either one of two things. That I have bias in my reading and I'm interested in correcting it, or that there are few to no non-male, non-white authors worth reading. Or, in the subjects you wanted to read about, the majority of the expert work done and expert books written were by white male authors. It's okay. It doesn't actually make you Swedish, I mean racist. But the thing is, this sort of thing is just ubiquitous these days. Look at this, why I'm not into music by men anymore? By some fucking sexist. She waffles on for almost two paragraphs in a way that she thinks comedic, before getting to her point. I might not have had to wait this long for women to get a bloody foothold in the noise industry. She prattles on incessantly about how women have been kept out of the music industry, which is obviously complete bollocks, and then ends her article with, there's so much to choose from in music by chicks these days, why wouldn't you? There has always been women in the music industry. And if there are so many women in the music industry now, what is the rationale for this article, you fucking bigot? But there really is very little point in excluding people based on race, because apparently, Leonard Nimoy, why Spock was the blackest person on the Enterprise. This article is so pathetic, I'm not even going to read it. But yes, there is this woman here claiming that Leonard Nimoy was in fact black. Not in body, perhaps, but in spirit. Because being black is now a state of mind. So, you know, those two previous racists who we were dealing with might actually have been wrong, and they may have actually been dealing with black men trapped in white men's bodies. Wouldn't you know it, social justice is coming to Israel. Meet the lesbian rabbi about to lead a crusade against racism in Israel. She bears all the hallmarks. Classic, classic social justice warrior. She is, of course, gay. She comes from the, quote, privileged parts of Israeli society. And she thinks the act of coming out has made her a minority, and now she's concerned with minority rights. And, of course, she's part of the Israel Religious Action Center, the advocacy arm of reform movement in Israel. And though officially affiliated with one movement, it sees itself as representative of all the non-orthodox streams of Judaism. She speaks for everyone. She is full-on special snowflake. I think we all know what this is. This is the Jews from the media oppressing Jews not in the media. You are welcome, Paul. And she has trained herself to become a really annoying activist. You know exactly the kind. Listen to this. I learned from my work with young Israelis and Palestinians is that the Palestinians have a much stronger narrative and a much greater religious and political sense of self. The Israelis couldn't articulate much about their identity beside the Holocaust, and this void, I believe, has a profound effect on how we see ourselves. I came to rabbinical school looking for a comfort level of Judaism that would allow me to think more creatively about social justice issues through a Jewish perspective. Just, she wanted to become an annoying activist because she was looking for comfort in her annoying activism. It's textbook, absolutely textbook. Her staunchly secular parents found it difficult to understand what drew her to religion. But this was not the first time that they were made aware of her special spiritual needs. She's a fucking upper-class, privileged girl who can't be appreciative of what she's got. She has to now feel bad so she can feel good. She is, of course, insanely bossy and entitled. Her actual boss says, "Yes, I know I'm her boss, but I haven't felt that since she first walked into the place, she runs all of us." She lives with her partner, Niata, a shiatsu practitioner. I wonder what that is. Shiatsu is a form of Japanese bodywork based on the theoretical framework of traditional Chinese medicine. There is no evidence that shiatsu is an effective medical treatment. What a fucking surprise. Shiatsu practitioners believe an energy called Qi flows through a network of meridians in the body. Of course they fucking do. This is all exactly as I'd expected. As the advocacy arm for progressive Judaism in Israel, Iraq focuses its energies on resting control of marriage and divorce law, as well as conversions from the hands of Orthodox-run religious establishment. Recently has also taken to the cause of fighting gendered segregation in public spaces. At least they're very clear and open that it's about control. I bet you have all predicted exactly where this is going. The organisation plans to reorganise its priorities over the next few years, with a special focus on a cause not typically associated with religion, racism. In our upcoming 3-year plan, we plan to devote 40% of our resources to a special campaign to fight racism in Israel, primarily racism against Arabs, which I am sure will involve no racism against Israelis themselves. She notes that the objective of the new campaign will be to reclaim the classic Jewish texts and use them in a way to promote a shared society in Israel. How they're going to do that, they don't state. Maybe they're going to ask the Amalekites. And finally from MTV. Sorry trolls, you're not going to win the battle against social justice warriors. That's right, social justice warriors actually think they're going to outlast the trolls. They must have missed last week's article about feminists quitting the internet because they couldn't take it anymore. Last week, an alarming number of social justice warrior-hating Redditors convinced themselves that lesbian Jewish leftists were taking control of the site. Wow, what a coincidence. Just as we read an article about lesbian Jewish leftists trying to take control of Israel, at least the domestic life. What are the odds? But as one Redditor described them, a social justice warrior is someone who takes social justice too far and into the realm of social revenge, i.e. political lesbians who think all men are rapists, no exceptions, trans or gay who think all cisgendered folks should be killed, racists who think everything is the fault of whites. They like to call anyone who disagrees with them a racist, homophobic, rapist or white supremacist. They are indeed full of projection.